that maybe there were 10 things that were so significant to the influence of 400 years of slavery that God said, I'm going to make sure these 10 things you never go back to. And yet we treat them as laws. And they are called the Ten Commandments. But again, there's this reality that God, and if you didn't know this, it's actually not 10 commandments, it's 613 commandments, is actually how many commandments God gave to the Israelites when they left Egypt. But his whole intention of giving him those instructions, giving us those commandments, that's why Jesus could come along years, centuries, you know, later, and say they're all summed up in these two simple commandments, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So again, he summarized all of it back to this issue of love. And what's the hardest thing for a slave mindset to accept? What's the hardest thing for a slave mindset to accept? Say it like you mean it. Love. Love. Because when you're a slave, you're not asked to love. Love is not expected in either direction. And so the idea of God giving us our Ten Commandments needs to come out of a religious mindset and be set in a proper relationship, knowing that God was actually trying to get his people who had been in bondage for over 400 years of slavery to know that he is their God who loves them. And so in loving them, he gave them parameters. Everybody say amen. Amen. So if you're not familiar with Passover, those are some of the resources we're making available because we want to come into this season. Passover starts on March 27th at sundown, and it just so happens to end this year on what we call Easter, and that'll be April 4th at sundown. But really, the bigger significance in this feast is understanding its prophetic significance. God fulfilled his word, and if he did it then, I guarantee you he will do it again and again and again and again. Amen? Amen. Awesome. Would you stand with me? Those are just announcements. Come on. Hallelujah. I want you to just stretch your hands out in a different direction than the stage. So you might have to turn around. You might want to turn to your right. But we've all been facing the stage. So just take a different direction. North, south, east. I mean, if you point west, that's okay. But, you know, just in a different direction. I want you to look at what's in front of you. It might be the side of someone's head. It might be their backside again that you didn't, you know, you were sitting next to them. It might be a different portion of the wall. You might think beyond what's just in the room. What's in that direction? What do I know over there? Maybe you're pointing to your car. Maybe you're pointing to where you live. Maybe you're pointing in the direction of, you know, your favorite place to eat. But now go a little bit further. Do you know what's beyond that part of the city? Do you know what lies upon that direction of your horizon that you're facing right now? Do you know how far you can see? Do you realize that there is stuff beyond your sight in that direction? Do you realize that if you were to go straight all the way around the world, the things you would encounter, the people you would encounter, just if you were to set off on a course in that direction, in such a manner that you can't see it now, but there is something there. There is something significant there. There are people there. There are lands there. There might be valleys. You might cross a river. You might have to climb hills. You might cross, obviously, you'd cross the ocean. But the reality is that in the direction you're looking right now, there is great value and worth that is beyond what you can see, maybe beyond what you can even comprehend, and at this point, maybe beyond what you even know. Because you might be familiar with, oh, I'm looking north, and I can guess what's north. But what's beyond the north? What, you know, if I kept going north, all of a sudden now I'm actually heading south, right? I'm coming back around. I need you right now to realize that there are things that God wants to lead us into that are going to require us to trust him beyond what we can see in a direction that maybe nobody else right now that you know is looking at. And that doesn't make you more valuable or less valuable. It doesn't make your path more important than anybody else's path. It makes it your path in Christ. And it makes it an absolute dependency that you and I have to have on Holy Spirit to direct our steps in the direction which he's pointed us. So right now, I want you to begin to declare in this prophetic expression, in this direction that you're standing or pointing, and just saying, Lord, though I cannot see, repeat after me, Lord, though I cannot see all that lies ahead, I am trusting you, Holy Spirit, because you love me. And I look forward with excitement and faith for the journey ahead. And I will not rest my head on things that are just seen. But I will keep going after the things you've called for me, both unseen and seen. In the name of Jesus, amen. Come on, amen. Now look at somebody and bless them. Come on. We have this tendency to fall into familiarity. Or we have this tendency I've heard this phrase, and it's just a cliche phrase, but I like it. It's like, you know, if you kick the ends out of a coffin, you're just in a rut, right? And some of us, we're just living in this rut, and it's basically a coffin without end. And that song we were singing, that he's turning our graves into gardens. I mean, think of the profound beauty of that word. Oh my goodness, Lord, you're turning my grave into gardens. That the very place where I have died, I have said this to you before, I am an absolute believer in the power of resurrection. I resurrect my old self every single day, and God just looks at me and says, stop, Jeff, that's not what I want. I want the resurrection of life. And my old self gets up and goes, yeah, it feels good to be alive again. You know, and so somebody comes along and says, do you believe in resurrection life? Absolutely I do. Man, look at my old self. He tries to get up every day. And a lot of times I'm the one calling him up. You know, please come back. You know, where's that anger that I could put out there to make things understandable? You know, where's that escape that I can't find right now in Christ, but it sure felt good when it was, you know, lust or pornography or language or drinking or drugs or something else? Where's that guy that used to have fun? But that guy's deceived me to thinking that that was fun. Jesus delivered me from my old nature because he knew better. He knew that in him, in Jesus Christ, there's nothing that compares. But what happens is I've gotten so familiar. Now, I've been born again for 21 years, and I've been set free, and God continues to set. I got set free last Sunday. Man, I don't know what you guys experienced last Sunday, but Jacqueline and the team got into that nature of the brain. And Jacqueline, you know, she spends a lot of time studying the brain and does her therapy, our business and all that kind of stuff. And so she's very familiar with behavior and all that. And, you know, we read books and we've studied this, and she loves the science. One time she tried to romanticize my heart. She tried to woo my heart by going, if I could just cut open your head and study your brain, it would be awesome. And I'm like, you know, that doesn't do it for me, baby. That, you know, I don't know. If those are your words of wooing, like, we need to work on it, because you studying my brain doesn't stimulate me. But, you know, for her, it's the science and the knowledge and the beauty of it and God's design. She loves it. And so she goes after studying it, and I've studied it. And yet what we find is that there's this place of familiarity that we will resort back to, because we've actually built synapses in our mind. We've actually built neural pathways that are resistant to change. We're no longer flexible in our thinking. And what you and I need to do is to get in the Spirit, so he can start to rewire the brain in such a manner that all of a sudden now we're flexible. We're flexible in our thinking. Where before a thought would, you know, you get a phone call and somebody's saying, hey, I just got diagnosed with cancer. And immediately you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Oh man, if they got cancer, I'm going to get cancer. Or, oh my gosh, I love them and there's nothing we can do for them. It's that knee-jerk reaction when we'd actually step back and go, all right, Lord, the enemy is trespassing. We are not going to give cancer a foothold. We're going to go after this thing, and we're going to go after it together. And we're going to learn to war, and we're going to learn to praise. Here's the question I felt the Lord was asking me, and so I'm going to turn it around and ask you, is, Jeff, do you believe your praise is worthy for me to enthrone? Because Psalm 22:3 says, I enthrone the praises of my people. And I don't believe God's speaking to me with rebuke. He's constantly teaching me. Jeff, is the praise you're bringing me something you think I will enthrone? And I'm like, you know, I hope so. And the Lord's like, wrong answer. It's not a hope-so situation. It's a knowing. It's an understanding. It's a conviction of going, Absolutely, Lord, and I will not relent in my praise. I will lift up my hands. I will lay on the ground. I will be silent or I will be loud. That's not the issue. It's a matter of, Lord, I am making my praise worthy of something that you will enthrone, something that you will inhabit, something that you will cause to break through. And the beauty of what Pastor Mike was saying about the power of our praise and the nature of our praise and the unction of our praise is that we can praise and be thankful and not even see our victory yet because we know we're already victorious. Amen. It's that idea of looking in a direction and going, I actually don't know what's in that direction. I don't know who I will encounter, but Lord, if this is the course you've set me on, if this is the path that I'm headed down, then Lord, I want to go with full excitement and full steam in such a manner that, Lord, if it's you, then it's good. And so we've been talking about flowing in the Spirit, letting go and let's flow. You know, we've been, and I'm sharing some of this maybe in such a manner that this is pretty foundational maybe for most of us. And if you feel that way, then God bless you. You can leave early. But for the rest of us who just need a reminder or who don't know this or who are discipling other people and therefore we're willing to get it again and give it away, I'm asking you to consider what type of praise do you bring to the Lord? What type of willingness have you surrendered to the Spirit of God to lead your life? To bring his kingdom to earth as it is in heaven. Because we've been talking about this nature of moving in the Spirit of God, flowing in the Spirit of God. Do you realize that if you think God is distant somewhere over there, your communication with him is going to be very different than if you believe he's right here? Listen, if I only communicated to my wife through a phone and that she, you know, anywhere else, our intimacy is going to be very limited. Because there's only so much interaction I can have through a phone. And get your heads out of the gutter because we're talking about purity. There's something that's limited by, hey, sweetie, how are you? I miss you. What are you up to today? What's God been saying? Man, I love you. I love your eyes. I love your touch. I love the smell of your perfume. Now, I'm saying those things because I do love them, but right there on the phone, I'm not experiencing that. I'm just confessing. There's a whole different type of communication that happens when we're then intimate, when we're then close, when we're in the same room, when we understand the value of proximity affects the relationship. So if you've put God somewhere out there as if he's so big, so great, you're so worthless, you're so unvaluable to him, that somehow you're going to, you know, be the penitent person crawling on your knees to try to get him, then you've missed the gospel message. You've missed the beauty of Holy Spirit being in us. God said there would be no separation. There is no distance between us. I'm going to dwell in you so that you know I'm with you. And then all of a sudden that revelation unlocks the reality of how to communicate with him. I don't need to raise my voice. I don't need to be ashamed. I don't need to cower in fear. I can say, Papa, I love you. Oh, Daddy, I just need help right now. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for showing me again the beauty of the grave that I've been called out of and resurrected from. And the garden that I am. Now listen, maybe you don't like the fruit trees in my garden, and that's okay. Like, I'll share it with anybody. And if this garden right here that God is growing up and causing to bloom and blossom isn't your thing, that's okay. But we need one another, and I've got things that you need, and you've got things that I need. As God cultivates the garden, as God stirs us up, but it all comes back to this ability to know him and to flow with him. And there's a few things that we do around here that you might not understand, or maybe you haven't taken the step to step into and try to explore them, or I would say experiment with them. And I just want to address a few of those things. We've put speaking in tongues in a place that it was never meant to be. Listen, I'm a Pentecostal. Come on, I believe in Pentecost. And you can't be a born-again believer unless you believe in Pentecost. Because it was the outpouring of the Spirit of God. It was the fulfillment of what Jesus promised. So any born-again believer that accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, whether they accept it or not, is actually a Pentecostal. Because it was on Pentecost that God fulfilled the promise of now my spirit is poured out upon all men, all flesh, all women, and they're saved. Now, speaking in tongues is one of the gifts that come through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But let me just say this, and I want to correct myself from a few weeks ago in such a manner that I say this a little bit better. I believe that you all are called to speak in tongues. I believe that speaking in tongues is the perfect language. I believe that speaking in tongues is a gift that all can have. I believe that, again, there are barriers to things. There are barriers and things in our life that may hinder the activation of that gift. Pastor Mike and I, we've said that we believe that the day of Pentecost, the outpouring, the initial evidence at that moment was the gift of tongues. But elsewhere in the book of Acts, we can find they lay hands on people and they prophesied in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they didn't speak in tongues. Therefore, it is not the only evidence, but it is evidence. But here's the thing I want to make sure you get and I correct. Is that the whole reason we get to speak in tongues, we get to prophesy, we get to have words of knowledge, we operate in gifts of the Spirit, is for the lost. We have to go after the harvest. So the holy crap meetings that we're sitting in, speaking in tongues and having no interest in the lost, is doing us no good. We have people going to hell because we're so caught up in, do you speak in tongues? I'm a better prophet than you are. I've got words of knowledge to get in your place. Can I stop and just say, Lord, thank you for the women that sang this morning. Father, forgive us that we have not honored women and we've not put women in their rightful place of equality. Right now, the enemy is after that gender in such a manner that it's so grotesque and such a perversion of the kingdom of God that you and I better start standing up and saying, woman, speak. Be known for who you are. We value you. We need you. Now, I come from a Pentecostal root where women, you know, Foursquare was started by a woman. And so I've got a little different agenda when I look at women. But the rest of you, if you have an issue with a woman preaching like Jennifer last Sunday, or women leading, or women being titled pastors, then you and I need to sit down and this is what I say, and I'm repenting right now because I heard Pastor Mike say this. Who says suck it up? Not Jesus. And so if Jesus doesn't say it, Lord, forgive me because I say it all the time. Come on, Tom, suck it up. Come on, Winter, suck it up. Let's go. And I know what I mean. But I got convicted going, oh, Lord, forgive me, Jesus. If you don't say that, then I don't want to say that. Because what he does say is, come, 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 and let me bear the burden. Let me give you a drink that you'll never thirst again. But here's the reality, that when we look at the Holy Spirit, he is a person. He has identity. He has attributes. He's got nature. And there's this place where, you know, I said this a few weeks ago, that there's Christians that are looking at Holy Spirit going, don't put a gender on him. Don't put a gender on God. Listen, we don't put a gender on God because he's a man. We put a gender on God because he chose to reveal himself to us as a father. And he chose to be amongst us as a son, a brother. And Jesus, a man, gave us his spirit, Holy Spirit. Therefore, it's still him. And we identify with him. Now, does that mean that only a man can minister because it's more in the likeness of Christ? Absolutely not. If anything, there is such an outpouring of wholeness that happens when we recognize that he isn't limited to just a penis or a man, but he is limited by nothing. He is limited by nothing. He is God incarnate, God Spirit, God Father, in such a manner that when you and I begin to apprehend the revelation of who he is, flowing with him becomes the only desire of our heart. Yes, I'm pushing buttons. And yes, I'm triggering issues. And yes, I'm going to continue to be the elephant in the room because I realize that the world has got a voice that we don't have right now. And my purpose isn't to offend, but my heart is convicted to such a manner that, Lord, I am tired of watching another year go by where I'm not seeing the promises that you said we could have. So we do things around here that require a little bit more courageousness or boldness. And one of them involves the nature in which we do worship. I realize that some of you don't like when we go off because you don't know what to do. And I'm okay with that. And what I'm asking you to consider is that you keep coming along and ask Holy Spirit, what do I do when there's no screen to follow, no words on the screen to follow? Why would we not have words on the screen for you to sing? You know, people, over years ago, people would challenge us because this is our nature. This is Jacqueline's gift of leading worship. We'd have people come and visit us, and they would say, you preach unity, but you're not really for unity. I go, what do you mean? Well, when there aren't words on the screen, we're not unified. I go, if that is all it takes to be unified, I will leave one word on that screen, and it'll be Jesus. I mean, if that's the mindset of how we cultivate unity, then really the definition is wrong. That's conformity. That's a type of unity that's not kingdom. And so here's, Jacqueline, why don't you come on up? So here's an idea of what we do in worship. And if you've never seen this or thought this, I want you to consider this. And I'm just going to show you the example. When's your birthday?
When is my birthday?
When is your birthday? Yes. Her birthday is April 17th. It's coming up. And so, Jacqueline, guess what? I got you a birthday card. It says, make a wish, it's your birthday. And inside is written, hope your birthday takes you to fun places. I love you. Awesome, right? It's our anniversary. Hey, Jacqueline. Make a wish, it's our birthday, even though I know it's our anniversary. Hope your birthday takes you to fun places, but I want you to think of that. This is really in honor of our anniversary. Not so good, right? Right? It's our kid's birthday. Hey, Jacqueline, here's a card. Thanks for having our kids. Make a wish, it's their birthday. Hope your birthday takes you to a fun place. You know, way off, right? What have we done, Jacqueline?
We conformed.
And what can our worship become like?
Ritualistic. off, I don't know. Maybe like, oh, thanks, honey.
Yeah, do you feel loved?
Not after the first time.
Right?
Second time, I'll forgive you. Third, I'm like,
right? So what revelation are you holding regarding the birthday card?
Well, a picture the Lord had given me about whether you call it spontaneous worship, prophetic worship, or just making it up as you go, just authentic worship unto the Lord. An analogy he gave me was, it's like bringing the same card to the Lord. And some of these songs, we've been singing 100 or 1,000 times to the Lord. Now, does he love it? He loves it because he knows the intent of our heart is good. And originally, whoever wrote the card, it actually was a spontaneous card, wasn't it? At some point, the hymn was a spontaneous song at one point. And are they great? They're great. There's power in those words. But at some point, you have an expression that maybe isn't written for you to sing. And so it's like singing happy birthday when you actually want to say, I'm so sorry, Lord. Mm-hmm. Or it might be like, you're the greatest father, what we're singing about, but you want to say, Jesus, I just need help. But if you're forced to keep singing happy birthday, Jesus, I mean, there is a level of connection, but how much greater when you can express your own words to the King, your own words to the Father. And there is a place where we can have unity because we all can be on the same page. But do you know God loves you more than that to leave you just on being on the same page? He wants something to well up in you to express to him. And then get this, the Lord was was also showing me this analogy. Sometimes what we can do in worship is we can sing a song. It'd be like me bringing a card to Jeff and going, here. And then I take off. What did I do? I gave him a great expression, but I took off before seeing him read it. I took off before seeing the expression on his face. I took off before even getting his response. He might say, wow, honey, this really moves me. Like, wow, I really needed that today. Or, man, that just makes me fall in love with you more and more. But I would have never known because I handed him the card and I took off to get another card to say, here, here's a card. And then I take off. Here, here's a card. Now, the cards are great. Our songs are great. But when you read through Psalms and you get to that word that says Selah, S-E-L-A-H, it's a musical term, and it's like it's to let the worshipers know, it's to let the band know, wait for it. It's like, okay, you just poured out your heart to the Lord. Now wait. We're called to wait in worship. Wait. Why? Because the Father actually wants to give an expression back to us.
That's right.
And if we take off before we get that, look how much you missed out on. And Selah means, it's a musical phrase, like it means to pause, meditate, wait on the Lord. And then it also means crescendo. That's a musical phrase for like, boom, bam, the big part, the big stuff, the, you know, the rumbling, the shaking, the magnificent part of the song. That's Selah. I don't want to miss it, and I don't want you to miss it.
Come on.
And I think for too many generations, sometimes we miss it. Now, as a worship team, will we hear it correctly every time? No. You know, it's hard to keep time on the piano, keep the band going, and hear from the Lord, and then, oh my gosh, what chord am I playing? But I'm hearing this, or I'm getting this picture, but how do I express it into words? And, you know, but I guarantee you, we are committed as a worship team to do our best and try, and we won't know we can walk on water unless we get out of the boat.
Amen.
Right? You don't know you can create a song to the Father unless you try.
That's good.
And that, I just hope that's a helpful analogy for just our desire in worship is we really want that connection with the Lord. We want you to experience the connection with the Lord. And whether it's through song, whether it's through a declaration, whether it's through a prayer, but I just know his presence comes the more we recognize his presence. And then it comes even more the more we recognize his presence. And we go, oh, Lord, you're here. And then guess what happens in his presence? There's freedom. There's joy. There's deliverance. And sometimes we don't even have to say a prayer because it's just his presence, and that's what he does.
That's good.
Right?
Amen. Amen. Is that all you want? Happy birthday. Come on. So are the cards bad? Absolutely not. They're valuable. We have friends that go to, they used to go to the Owl. I don't think the Owl does the cards anymore. But, you know, for each other's birthday, rather than buying them, because they get kind of pricey, they just go and pick one out and hand it to their loved one. And this is what I say to you. And it's like, that. I love that. That's cute. But if that's all we ever do, that's limited. And if, you know, if I gave my card to Grady here and said, hey, Grady, would you give this to my wife? I mean, how weird is that? You know, hey, Grady, would you write my wife a birthday card on behalf of me, you know, and deliver it? But I think we do that in worship sometimes. I mean, we expect, and I love our team, but who's the greatest worship leader? Holy Spirit. Same. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Jesus, leading you, therefore making you the greatest worship leader for you. And I think some of us would be wise if we just showed up with a blank card and said, Lord, it's a new day. This is what I'm seeing. This is what I'm saying. And deliver it in such a manner that we get to watch and encounter his expression back. as he sits. And this might be a week-to-week thing. This might be a month's thing. You know, I mean, you know, however the response is. But we're willing to linger and wait. And so if you got a Bible, open up to James. I'll get into my message. And I got a few things for you because now I know that I've piqued your attention. But I want you to think about the flow of the Spirit. And so we've got worship. And then we've got people that come up and they prophesy. And then next week we've got a different worship team. And then we got somebody else coming up and prophesying. And then the following week, you know, we've got another worship team and a different speaker. And it feels different. And you know what? I've decided, I figured out the rhythm. I only like the first Sunday of the month, so I'm only going to come on the first Sunday of the month. Or, you know what, the third Sunday seems to be the ticket, so I'm going to show up on the third Sunday because usually this speaker's there, this person's attending church, this person seems to be absent that Sunday. And that whole rhythm and game, come on, that's just a waste of time. And there's reasons why we do that, because we're insecure, we don't like certain styles, we're not appreciative of certain styles. Josh and I had this discussion, Josh and Tiffany aren't with us this morning, but Josh and I had this discussion the other week, and it blessed me. And so, Josh, if you're watching, again, just thank you, because it so blessed me. And he goes, Jeff, why would we ever consider that worship wouldn't have a fivefold nature in it? I'm like, what? Why would we ever consider that the Spirit of God wouldn't move through worship in a fivefold expression the same way he moves through people? I'm like, well, yeah, of course. I mean, I get that, Josh. Yeah, prophetic worship, apostolic worship, sending. And Josh is like, what about pastoral worship? I'm like, I hate pastoral worship. You know, that whole, how did Jennifer say it last week? In the basement of our heart. I'm like, yeah, you know, send Mike in there. Send Debbie in there, you know. But it struck me, because if I'm not willing to honor that, I'm actually missing out. If I'm not willing to recognize its place and its value within our gatherings. Now listen, the beauty of some of the things we're experiencing around here is that we're growing in the fivefold expression. But some of you, all you know is, you know, the Billy Graham style of worship, the evangelist worship, you know. I mean, there's people we listen to, like, you know, I don't know if any of you know Martha Minuzzi, but man, I love that lady. And she's been around for years. But I turn her on, and I get taken back to a church in Hawaii that changed my life. And it wasn't the church I was attending. They were a Word of Faith church. Maybe later on I learned about some of their theology I didn't totally agree with. But that style of worship, you know, just Eddie James, you know, we sing a couple Eddie James songs around here. You know, there's different styles, different expressions, but we come back to the word, Ephesians 4, that talks about apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists that are equipping the saints. Worship is an opportunity when we gather like this to be equipped. So of course there's going to be different types of expressions of worship. Some are going to be more prophetic. Some are going to be, you know, more of the humor Hallmark card when you walk in down the aisle and you're looking for, you know, the funny section. You know, I tend to gravitate towards that versus the super sentimental section, you know, or, you know, the animal section where the little cats and dogs are, you know, what gets you. It's recognizing the beauty of diversity, right? And so James here in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, my brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. Don't hold your faith in Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. Now, can we have our preferences? Absolutely. The day I married my wife, I gave up favoring every other woman when it came to covenant and relationship. Is that easy? No. But it's a commitment. And it takes diligence. But I committed that, Lord, I am going to hold her in esteem. I am going to be focused on just her. And you work at it. But what James is saying to us here isn't necessarily that level of covenantal relationship. He's talking about the body. He's talking, because he goes on to say that if a rich person comes into your midst and you give them greater prominence than the man in rags, you've showed favoritism. If you only show up knowing that I'm preaching, then you're showing me favoritism. And what it goes on to say in the next verse at 8, if you jump down, it says, Yeah, okay, sorry, verse 8. If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. Verse 9. But if you show partiality or favoritism, you're actually committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Why is that? The issue is love. Showing the partiality of love. Now, I've said this to you before because this is something I'm working on. I'm removing my language of love is easy, love is hard. Because in Christ, love is just love. It doesn't have a degree of hardness or easiness. What's limited is my mind and the knowledge of the tree of good and evil and the limitations. But if I can step back and just go, Lord, help me love this person. Help me not distinguish them or show favoritism. Then I will avoid the law of transgression and not be a transgressor. There's three types of sin in the Bible. There's the sin of disobedience. You're just sinning. There's the nature of iniquity. That's the sin that's passed on to you. So you're doing things that you don't even know are sinful. And then there's transgression. And it is the willful desire to disobey God. Meaning, I know better. And all of you in this room know that God has commanded you to love your neighbors as yourself. And when you and I don't do that, we are actually willfully transgressing against the Lord. But there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Amen? So the issue isn't about condemnation. It's about a conviction that recognizes, Lord, I'm having a really hard time with this person right now. I'm trying not to show partiality. I'm trying not to cut them out of my life, but show me how to love them. Here's two books for you to consider if you want to grow in the Spirit of God and really help you in this area. The first one is called Holy Spirit by Jerry Cook. Jerry Cook was an incredible pastor out of Eugene, Oregon, incredibly influential in the Four Square movement. He raised and discipled the pastor that raised us up, Ralph Moore. He'd come to Hawaii all the time, wrote a book called Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness. And again, a great author, passed away a number of years ago, but very foundational. If you want a simple read and just get a huge dose of Holy Spirit theology and scripture, Jerry Cook, because that was his gift. The second book here is called The Glory Within by Corey Russell. Corey Russell was with IHOP for a number of years. He left recently and is now down in Texas with a ministry called, I believe, Upper Room. But this is an incredible book. And it sparked my attention a few weeks ago because some of the terminology that was coming out in our worship that I was like, I need to pick up that Corey Russell book and just begin to read into it. Because The Glory Within, what I love about him and what I've discovered about him is that some of you have prayed for years for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some of you have been contending like, Lord, I believe, I'm repenting, I'm not speaking in tongues, I'm not seeing the evidence of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that he gets in and goes after is this understanding that speaking in tongues is actually a love language. And if you're not willing to speak in love, God's not willing to give you his language. If you're not understanding of how loved you are, the cap to breaking forth in that one particular gift is going to be held down because it is built and solely about love. Because everything God has to say comes from him who is love. And so all of a sudden, as I begin to untap and pray with others and begin to ask, like, hey, so you've been praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're not seeing any breakthrough. We're discerning. Let's just ask a simple question. Do you believe you're loved? Well, I know my dad had good intentions and my mom tried. No. Do you know that God loves you? And all of a sudden, once we can begin to crack open that issue of love, like, tongues start flowing out. The language of love, because it is a perfect language. It is the perfect prayer. And God is going to pray it through you and I because he loves your destiny. He loves the destiny of others. He's got a plan and purpose for you and I. And so when we're worshiping and there's no words on the screen, pray in tongues and release the love of God. Release the power of God. Release the nature of God into the room over your situations. There's a reason why Paul says I pray in tongues more than all of you. Is because he was in a world where there's such religiosity that really the only transformative power was going to be the love of God. So he just immersed himself in it. He didn't let persecution get to him. He didn't let prison get to him. He didn't let the mockers get to him. He just got in the spirit and started praying in tongues. And let love break down walls. Let love be the evidence. Let love be the demonstration of the Spirit. Let love come through. And if that is an area that you are contending for, let me challenge you and consider, get with other people that know you and love you and let them be the guard around you until you can break through and receive that full revelation of, I am loved. And because I am loved, I've got something to say. And I've got something to say for the Lord. I've got something to say in a language that can't be heard by just human ears, but comes from the tongues of angels. Amen? I'm going to close with this revelation. And this is in Amos 5. And I'll show you, I got a little video I wanted to show you, but I just looked at the clock. Because I want you to get the heart of Amos. And so I'll link it in the newsletter this week and put it on our website. But it's a little Bible project, and it's a 7-minute video about the book of Amos, the prophet Amos. And Amos was sent to the nation of Israel. And throughout the book of Amos, time and time again, God speaking through Amos is trying to get his people to come back to him. And his people continue to just ignore him, ignore the Lord. And there's a verse in Amos 5 that reads like this. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel. And do not enter into Gilgal or cross over to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into exile, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Why is this verse so pivotal to us about and the nature of flowing in the Spirit? Because of the nature of familiarity. What was Bethel to the Israelites? Bethel is the house of God. Bethel is where Abraham took Isaac. Bethel is where Jacob laid his head down and the angels ascend. Bethel speaks of this incredible time and multiple times where God showed himself faithful. So to the nation of Israel, hearing God say, don't seek Bethel, it's almost like, wait a minute, don't go back to where you met us? And God is saying, don't go back there because you've allowed idols to be built there. You've allowed it to become something that it was never meant to be. And if you go back there looking for something today, it's totally different. Don't go back to Gilgal. Gilgal was where Joshua circumcised all of Israel as they crossed over. I mean, talk about a place of great covenant. Now, many would think, yeah, let's not go back to Gilgal. Man, the cutting of the foreskin, we can avoid that. But the bigger picture here is the nature of covenant, the deliverance into a promised land. Who wouldn't want to go back there? Come on, that's a great time. Man, I remember when we were slain in the Spirit. I remember, you know, Pastor Mike's talking about people jumping on the piano and shouting out loud. I remember when we saw eyeballs open up and hands stretched out. I remember those things. There's something about a testimony. But if you're trying to go back to that place, then you've missed what God has promised, and that is, I am with you now. I am here now. The power of testimony during the gathering a few weeks ago was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I'm finding breakthrough by just listening to the testimonies of others. There are people in this room that are carrying incredible testimonies, but we're only going to hear it if we get to know them. And so we're saying to you on a Sunday morning, don't go back to Bethel. Don't go back to Gilgal. Don't go to Beersheba. Beersheba spoke of a time when God had his prophets continually go to one area to hear him. Isaac went there. Elijah went there. Hagar went there into this land of Beersheba. And they went there because they knew that's where God was speaking. But what did Jesus warn us not to do? Hey, they're going to say I'm in the desert, but don't go looking for me there because I'm not there. Hey, they're going to say I'm on the mountain, but don't go looking for me there because I'm not there. What did he say? I am going to give you my Spirit, and I'm going to be right where you are. So if you need a word from the Lord, lay hands on yourself. If you need a breakthrough, then do the prophetic acts all you want. Shake off your hands, you know, declare over yourself, speak in tongues. But right where you're at is where the Spirit of God is. Now, do we poo-poo on Bethel? Absolutely not. Do we mock Gilgal? No. Do we deny the reality of Beersheba? Absolutely not. But what we do is we recognize, God, you did it then, you can do it now. The other thing is, how easy is it to get to Bethel? How easy is it to travel to Gilgal? You know, what type of terrain or enemy stands in the way of getting to Beersheba? God knew all this. And what he's saying is, if you'll seek me, you will live. Seek me right where you're at. So when we come together on a Sunday, we're not looking for what we did last week. in the sense of it's got to be the cookie cutter. It's got to look the same. I hope it's the same worship leader. I hope it's the same preaching. You know, I hope they call out the same thing. When we gather in our prayer meetings, we're not looking for the way it was years ago. As good as it was, as powerful as it was. But let those things testify to us. Because it had its glory. And what God promises you and I is even more glory. Because we stand on the ceiling that that movement created. Their ceiling is our foundation. Listen, our ceiling will be the foundation, the pad where our children's children will grow up from. And what we don't want to pass them off, you know, hand off to them, is yesterday's manna. Was it good yesterday? Absolutely. That was the beauty of the manna in the desert. God said, you will have to depend on me every day. I will teach you how to depend on me every day. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, love never fails. Prophecies, tongues, knowledge, all of that will pass away. And so as we send you out this morning, I'm asking that you would begin to recognize the amount of time you are putting into your, quote, faith, into your expression of faith, your Christian life. How much time are you putting into things that aren't eternal? Does that mean we don't go after tongues? We absolutely go after tongues. For what purpose, though? For the eternal love of God to reach the lost. Does that mean we don't seek knowledge? Absolutely, we seek his knowledge. We seek it until it covers the earth, but guess what? It's going to pass away. Does that mean we don't prophesy? We better be prophesying. We better be prophesying in a place that I can't see what's over there, Lord, but I'm going there. Why? Because your love is directing me. We're not interested in building monuments. I'm totally stealing this line from Pastor Mike, from Jennifer, from some other great people. We're not interested in building monuments, but movements. We don't want to be a monument. A few months ago, Jennifer taught on that. We want to be a movement. And yet, if you've ever watched an anthill, that's us. If Josh was here, he said this in a prayer meeting this week, the church, it's a bowl, and we're the Skittles in the bowl. Taste the rainbow, baby. You know, I mean, there's all types of flavors. There's all types of colors. And yeah, I might pick out all the orange ones because I love them. And every once in a while, I'll try a grape one. But, you know, I want to appreciate it, Lord. I want to learn to value one another. And the way that happens is we continue to contend to make sure we're all flowing in the Spirit. Would you stand with me? We'll close with our offering. If you want prayer after service, you're more than welcome to come forward. We'll pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. I know I've said a lot. I know I pricked a few thoughts, pulled off a few blinders, hopefully, caused you to consider some things that maybe you've never considered before. And so, Holy Spirit, we come today and just say, forgive us for grieving and quenching you, for insulting you, for bringing our same exact Hallmark card and not really allowing our own voice to come forth, not waiting around long enough to see you do something, even knowing that you would do something. Holy Spirit, we want to be a people who don't show partiality to anybody or favoritism. And yet I know so many of you in this room just feel so invisible. And so, Lord, I pray that there'd be a revelation of how seen we are by you. You see us. You see us. I am seen. I am known. Come on, I am seen. I am known by the Father. And his words for me are filled with love and power. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. And Father, as you see me, Father, teach me to see others the way you see them, with your love, with your love, with your love. Come on, beyond just the natural, beyond just the past, beyond all the junk that's piled up and been collected and now carried on as baggage. Lord, let me see beyond that. Let me see back to when you breathed on the dust and you gave them form. When you put them in their mother's womb, Let me see them like that. Let me see them with the substance of heaven. Oh, Lord, Father, baptize us in love today. Baptize us in the spirit of love, that, Lord, we know the language of heaven is love, love, love. The steadfast, all-consuming, never-ending love. Father, help me recall the testimonies of Bethel and Gilgal and Beersheba. Lord, help me recall the testimonies that are in the narrative of the Word of God. Lord, help me recall the testimonies that are in my own life, the day of my salvation. Lord, the day of my deliverance. Lord, the days of healing, the days of miracle provision. Lord, those encounters. Help me recall them so that, Lord, I would know the greatness of your love, the power of your love. And Father, let me do all of this for the sake of going to the nations, to the lost. Father, I pray that even in the days, months, and years ahead, Father, our worship would become so, so unhinged, so unhinged in such a manner that Lord, it's a beautiful Holy Spirit encounter. Oh, Lord. That we would see worship leaders raised up in this house that you would send to the nations because, Lord, you found their praiseworthy. Come on. Come on, Lord. Let us be a people who say, Lord, in response to you, yes, my praise will be worthy to inhabit. Yes, my life is worth your sacrifice. Yes, my life is filled with overcoming. Yes, I am more than a conqueror. Yes, I will speak the tongues of men, but I will also speak the tongue of the Spirit. Yes, I will prophesy. Yes, I will be all things to all men according to the Spirit of God's leading. Come on, yes. We will see the glory of the Lord rest upon us. Yes, we walk in highly favored love. Yes, we can break free from the limitations of the mind. Yes, we can see healing and deliverance of the body. Yes, the soul will find its rightful place behind the spirit man. Come on, yes, we have value. Yes, there is more for us. Yes, we've just begun. Yes, there's more, Lord. Yes, we recognize that there are days ahead that we don't understand, but we still trust you in. Yes, Lord, we're going to see the nations filter through our path and be influenced by the Spirit of God on our lives. Yes, we will send out missionaries. Yes, we will be missionaries. Yes, we will go into the marketplace and see things changed and transformed. Yes, we will raise up a generation that will go further than I ever imagined, ever I ever could have hoped for or ever conceived. We thank you that right now in the name of Jesus, yes, Lord, we will celebrate the beauty of identity. Yes, we will honor men and women in their rightful place. Yes, Lord, we will give you the glory of knowing that there is only one God, there is only one covenant, there is only one Spirit. Yes, we will honor the sanctity of life. Yes, we will stop aborting babies. Yes, we will stop creating division based on race and color. Yes, we will stand no matter what liberties we are granted by our government or what liberties we are not granted by the government. We declare that the Word of God is the eternal Word. It is the only thing that is the standard in our life. We declare that the angels of God will be entertained in this place and in our lives. We declare that the Word of God is being unlocked for more revelation and more insight and understanding. Lord, we declare that we are a house of solutionaries, that, Father, we have solutions for the world. Father, that we have vaccines by the Word of God, that, Lord, we can say it and it shall be done, that, Father, that we can, Lord, eradicate cancer by the Spirit of God, that we can displace, Lord, homelessness because of the giving and the generosity. Father, that we can deal with the trauma and the effect on the mind by sending out trauma response teams. Come on, we can thank you, Lord Jesus, that right now we are the people that you've called for such a time as this. And so, Lord, we're not cowering back anymore. We're not going to grovel in unworthiness or uncertainty, but we're going to speak in the heavenly language. We're going to build our holy faith up, and we're going to go out in the name of Jesus. Amen? Come on, amen? Thank you. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you that 100% of what we have has been given by you. And so we're going to give when you tell us to give. We're going to tithe where we're called to tithe. But Lord, we're not limited or bound by the law. We're going to expound and go places that a dollar never could have taken anybody, but in the hands of the Lord, it can take me around the world. Come on, silver and gold, it all belongs to him. The cattle on 1,000 hills, Lord, it all belongs to you, Lord. So we give you this morning our offering. We give you our offering in the spirit of praise. Come on, the degree to which we praise will be the degree to which he can inhabit. So Lord, I thank you right now for the financial healing in this room. Lord, I thank you for that financial breakthrough in this room. Father, I thank you that debts are being paid off. Come on, I thank you that you're equipping us. Father, that when we reach for that candy bar in the aisle, you just put your hand right in front of it and you just tell us, I got something better for you, so we don't buy the candy bar. Come on, when we want to go through Starbucks, we stop and just say, hey, Lord, I'm going to put this away and I'm going to give water to the hungry, give water to the thirsty, food to the hungry. Come on, God doesn't have an issue with you having a Starbucks, but what he wants is your heart and he wants it in that minute in the name of Jesus. And so we thank you that right now, Father. Father, I even pray, I just sense that some of you, you have an inheritance coming for you that has been withheld. And so we break off the restriction of those inheritances right now, and we just call them forth, whether they be from the bloodline or they be from the Father God himself. We just release those inheritances right now to the body of Christ, and we just say, Father, let us see the transfer of wealth. Let us see the movement of wealth come into the hands of the righteous in the name of Jesus. Because, Lord, we have built you a place of praise that's going to be enthroned by all of who you are, by all of what you want to do. There will be such a foundation of praise that, Lord, it'll be spoken of. I didn't know God could do that, like he said in Bethel, that there will be such a covenant that happens that, Lord, we're going to take down Jericho by simply obeying and coming into covenant. And Father, that if you call us into a place to meet with you and hear your voice, we'll go and we'll come out better than we went in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. Have an incredible week. If you want prayer this Sunday, come on forward. We'll pray for you. Otherwise, God bless you and bless one another.